So there are different levels of Mahabhagavata. There's Vyasadeva, there's Shukadeva, and there's Narada Muni. And they're certainly topmost devotees of the Lord. But they don't always see the Lord. They do not always see the Lord at every moment. Vishnu is explaining. So what does that mean? It means that they're on the platform, they're Uttama Adhikaris, they're on a platform of attachment, topmost attachment, bhava, and just threshold of prema, beginning of prema. But they're not seeing the Lord at every moment, because that is up to the will of the Lord. You can't buy the Lord's darshan. He's Swarat. Swarat means he's independent. He's a transcendental autocrat, and he can act according to his will. So Vishwanath explains that Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, and Shukadeva, they're the topmost Uttam Mahabhagavats, but they don't always see the Lord everywhere. The real qualification is Tad Tidriksha Adikya. Tad Tidriksha Adikya, which means having the adhikar, or having an overwhelming desire to see the Lord. Therefore, the statement of Bhagavad Gita that a devotee should see Krishna everywhere, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra, in 6:30, can be understood in terms of the example of a lusty man's thinking that the world is full of beautiful women. Just like one who's very lusty, just everywhere he looks, he just sees women everywhere. And the other analogy, Chanaka Pandit says that if a businessman, if a moneymaker, a businessman, if he goes into the forest, he goes into a forest and he says, oh, so many straight trees are here. So many very straight, tall pine trees are here. These would just make so much wonderful lumber. We could cut all these trees down and make so many houses and sell so much wood because they're very tall and straight and not many branches. And we can make a lot of money here just stripping this forest down to the bone, or you can say to the ground. So that's what a businessman sees, because everywhere he sees, you know, he has dollar signs in his eyes, so to speak. He has, you know, like each eye is looking for money. So just like a lusty man. Whereas if a dog comes in that forest, he says, wow, so many places to pass. So many trees to call my own. You know, I have to anoint and dedicate, consecrate this whole territory. I have a lot of work to do here. So he has a different vision according to his mindset and his heart. So this is the analogy of Vishwanath is using, that one who's very eager and very much developing his attachment, he wants to see the Lord everywhere. He's Krishna conscious. So he's always looking, where is my Lord? Where is my Lord? You know, is he in your heart? Is he in this? Where is Krishna's hand in this action? Where is Krishna's hand in this person? Where is Krishna's hand in this environment? Where is Krishna's hand in this service? His hand, his feet, his face, his form, his everything. Where is his loving touch here? Where is his loving command? Where is his loving embrace? Where is his loving feature? Where is his affection? How is his affection being delivered to me through these different manifestations and presentations of the material energy? This is the hankering to see the Lord that develops in the softened consciousness of the advancing sadhaka. One should become. That doesn't mean you're born that way. Yes, I'm that way. No, maybe I'm thinking about other things. I'm thinking about when's a good feast coming, or when's this or that, or so many things. But one should become transcendentally so desirous of seeing the Lord that one can perceive within everything, within the entire universe, nothing but Krishna and his potency. So seeing Krishna, that's available at the level of Uttam Adhikari, Asakti, Bhavan, Prema. But not all the time. Narada Muni, Shukadeva, and Vyas, they're on that level, they're Uttama Adhikaris, but they're not just saying, wow, Krishna, Krishna, oh, he's so beautiful, and they're hitting, they're running into things, well, gotta watch where I'm going, I'm just seeing Krishna everywhere. No, time to time, they have darshan, according to the Lord's will, but one who's not an Uttama Adhikari, he can be desirous to having that sweet darshan of the Lord, or he can try to see the Lord in his energies. There's another verse from 11th canto. chapter 3, text 40. Ya yabjana bacharanai sharano yabhakya cheto malani vidamed gunakarma jani tasmin vishuddha upalabhyata atmatattvam shakshanyatamala drisho sabitri prakasha. Amala drisho, sakshat amala drisho prakash. Amala means no dirt. Drisho means, another means clean eyes, pure eyes. Amala drisho, amala darshan, amala drisho, malani. In translation, when one seriously engages in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fixing the Lord's lotus feet within his heart as the only goal of life. So you're engaged in serving Krishna and you're fixing the Lord's feet. Charan Aishana Yoru Bhaktya. Then what happens? One can destroy the innumerable impure desires lodged within the heart as a result of one's previous fruitive work. Guna Karma Jani. Cheto Malani Vidamed Gunakarma Jani. When the heart is thus purified, one can directly perceive both the Supreme Lord and the oneself as transcendental entities. Tasmin Vishuddha Upalabhyata Atmatattvam. Atmatattvam means the truth of the self. And the truth of the Atmatattvam also includes Paramatmatattvam. Seeing the self means seeing the super self or the oversoul. Seeing the soul means seeing, if you have the power to see your soul, then you'll see your best friend standing next to you. Who is your best friend? Krishna. He's your best friend. He's our best friend. So Atmatattvam, Upalabhyata, Vishuddha Upalabhyata, love means to attain. You will attain this purity of consciousness by this meditating on the Lord's lotus feet. That's called Rup Dhyanam. Meditating on the form of the Lord in the heart, beginning with his feet and smile and full form, and engaging in devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam. This is very powerful, this process of Bhakti Yoga. When the heart, Ari said that, thus one becomes perfect in spiritual understanding through direct experience. Sakshat Yatamala Drisho Savitri Prakasha. Thus one becomes perfect in spiritual understanding through direct experience, just as one can directly experience the sunshine through normal, healthy vision. So Atmatattvam Sakshat Yatamala Drisho Savitri Prakasha. With Amala Drisho, with pure eyes, one can see the Lord, oneself and the Lord. So Vishnu Chakravartipad, he gives us some explanation about this sakshat conception. Upalabhyata Atmatattvam. Vishnu Chakravarti says that Atmatattvam, I already explained that, but then he comments on the word sakshat, because sakshat, you know, sakshat hari means direct. So he says sakshat means perceiving the personality of God. It means seeing the personal form of the Lord, with his hands and legs and various transcendental associates. Just as by devotion to the sun god, when he was devoted to Suryadev, he can gradually perceive the personal body of Suryadev, along with the chariot that he rides on and all his personal attendants. So this is the meaning of sakshad, that one gradually comes to the point of having direct darshan. So then the verse concludes by purport saying, by cleansing the mirror of the heart, because the word is there, cheto, one can see the Lord just as a normal human being with healthy 20/20 vision can very easily see the brilliant rays of the sun. So the idea is that this saksha darshan, which we began our discussion some days ago by quoting Brihad Bhagavatamrita and the discussions with Gopakumar and Pipalayana, or Pipaladya, in the Tapaloka, and then different explanations from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya about Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj, who had the Saksha Darshan, that we will have that opportunity to see the Lord eye to eye, just as if your eyes are working, then you can see, you know, 20/20 vision, you can see clearly someone standing before you. So this, of course, is at least it can be, and it should be, a rather inspiring point of the practice of devotional service, is the desire to see the Lord, and that awaits one who attains purity of consciousness and purity of heart. He will actually see, in this life, in this very life, he will see the Lord standing before him. Or, as Prabhupada explains by referring to Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at the level, when one is chanting Shuddha Nam, which begins at the level of Bhava and Prema, of course, Bhava, at the level of Shuddha Nam, then one can see Krishna dancing on the tip of his tongue. The tongue becomes the stage for the Lord, and the tongue is moving, just like the hoods of Kaliya. Kaliya's hoods, the hoods of the cobra, were moving in the Jamuna. And Krishna called the gopis out there, and he was dancing on their hoods, on the hoods of Kaliya, not on their hoods, but on the hoods of Kaliya. Krishna hoods, there are 100 different hoods of this cobra, were going up and down like this. And then Krishna called the gopis in one kalpa, and he called them out, and they were dancing on the hoods. So our tongue will be like that, moving, and the holy name will be vibrating, and Krishna and Radharani will be dancing there, because Krishna doesn't dance alone. It depends who's dancing there. Maybe Krishna is dancing with Sridham and Subal. If your heart is swirling with emotions of fraternal love, but if your heart is moving and swirling with emotions of Madhurya Bhav, then you'll see Radha and Krishna dancing on the tip of your tongue. This is one of the most inspiring statements that I ever heard Srila Prabhupada say. It really gave me great inspiration. That if you, by chanting Hare Krishna, you will see Krishna dancing on the tip of your tongue. I never really knew where that came from. Then when I read Harinam Chintamani, I saw that's directly mentioned there, the same statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Like everything Prabhupada says, which is interesting, when you read Prabhupada's books, there's purport after purport after purport, and he doesn't always say, Vishnu says this, Jiva says this, Sanatana, and he just goes on and on and on. Then if you happen to get the Sanskrit commentaries of the different acharyas and you examine them, and you'll say, hey, wait a minute, this whole paragraph is right from Vishwanath Chakravarti, this is from Sanatana Goswami. So everything that Prabhupada says, or at least that he actually says in his books, not everything that people say that Prabhupada says, but everything that Prabhupada actually writes in his books and speaks on his tapes, which is primary evidence and exactly what he said, is all simply, quote, his realized understanding and presentation of the commentaries by the previous acharyas. So the next verse we want to discuss is 11th canto, chapter 14, text number 13. Akinchanasya dantasya shantasya samachetasaha maya santushta manasaha sarvak sukamaya dishaha. Wonderful verse. Akinchana. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he took Babaji Vaish from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His name was Akinchana Krishnadas, and his samadhi is in Pavan Sarovara, behind the Bhajan Kutir of Sanatana Gosai. And he was one of the most beloved devotees in the entire Gaudiya Math, Akinchana Krishnadas. And many devotees in ISKCON had the opportunity to meet him and hear his kirtan. He especially liked to perform kirtan. And he was always chanting japa. So definition of Akinchana, Akinchanasya, or one who is Akinchana, has the quality of Akinchana. He does not desire anything of this world. Akinchanasya dantasya shantasya samachetasaha maya santushta manasa santushta mana. Yes, his mind is santushta. His mind is completely tushta, completely satisfied. Sarvasukamaya disha. Disha means dig or directions. Sarvasukha means wherever he goes, whether he goes to the north or the south or the east or the west, he finds Sarvasukha, he finds all happiness wherever he goes. Translation, 11th canto, chapter 14, text 13. One who does not desire anything within this world, who has achieved peace by controlling his senses. Dantasya, Shantasya. No Danta, no Shanta. Danta means controlling his senses. If there's no sense control, there's no peace. Impossible. He has achieved peace by controlling his senses, whose consciousness is equal in all conditions, Samachetasaha, and whose mind is completely satisfied in me, finds only happiness wherever he goes. Very wonderful purport here. A devotee who is always meditating upon Krishna experiences transcendental sound, touch, form, flavor, and aroma in the pastimes of the Lord. These sublime perceptions are certainly due to the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna upon one whose mind and senses are completely satisfied in him. Such person finds only happiness wherever he goes. In this regard, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, he gives the example that when a very wealthy man travels all over the world, at every place he stays, he enjoys the same luxurious standard of comfort. Similarly, one who has developed Krishna consciousness is never separated from happiness because Krishna is all-pervading. The word Kinshana indicates so-called enjoyable things of this world. One who is akinchan has correctly understood that material sense gratification is simply a glare of illusion, and therefore he controls his senses, he's self-controlled, dantasya, and he becomes completely shantasya, or peaceful, and maya santushta manasaha. He becomes completely satisfied with his transcendental experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a wonderful phrase here. We're looking for satisfaction. We're looking for happiness, satisfaction, and peace. And we can find that by having a transcendental experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nice analogy Vishnu Chakravarti Pad uses here. Someone is a rich person, wherever he goes, he enjoys. And that people that started hotel chains, they realize this. So what they do is, they have these Hilton hotels everywhere in the world, and all these Sheraton, all these very expensive hotels. So then rich people, wherever they go, they just go to those hotels because they know that if they get the best room in that Hilton hotel, wherever it is, any city, any country in the world, Africa, Asia, India, Europe, America, it'll always be the same standard of satisfaction and pleasure. So the analogy, so he always, wherever he goes, he enjoys fabulous food and dining and entertainment and all these things, at least so-called material, high standard of material enjoyment. So this is like the devotee, wherever the devotee goes, because there's no place where he's separated from Krishna. Krishna's everywhere. So wherever he is, he sees his Lord playing his leela. His Lord is playing his leela. Internally, wherever the devotee goes, whether he goes to hell or to heaven or to the city or the country, internally he's relishing these, as it says here, he's relishing the transcendental sound, touch, form, flavor, and aroma in the pastimes of the Lord. So internally he's relishing the Astakaliya leela of the Lord, the wonderfully satisfying and blissfully tasty transcendental pastimes of the Lord going on throughout the day and night with his eternal associates. And externally, he's also seeing that this is also the leela of the Lord. This Srishti leela, this creation, is also the Lord's leela. And I am the Tatastha Shakti here. I'm playing a part in the Lord's leela, and so many other people are playing the part in the Lord's leela. So let me appreciate how Krishna is moving everyone, and how he is orchestrating this wonderful drama called Srishti Leela. And so therefore, wherever he also feels happiness, seeing the hand of his Lord in everything, externally and internally. Interesting point in this verse about the Akinchana Bhakta, or the Akinchana devotee, that he experiences as it says, a devotee who is always meditating upon Krishna experiences transcendental sound, touch, form, flavor, and aroma in the pastimes of the Lord. What does that mean? First of all, it means when you study Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Puri Leela. He was, as we mentioned before, and we told the same pastime, he was searching everywhere for Krishna in the mood of Radharani, feeling separation, Radha Bhav, Viraha Bhav. So we are also, and Radharani is the ideal perfect devotee. So we are following at a great distance the mood and mellow of the Brijvasi devotees, of whom Radharani is the most perfect. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing this intense search for Krishna. Intense search for Krishna blended with the equally intense mood of separation. So we should search for Krishna within the reaches of our mind and heart, and within this world, we should intensely search for him and have an intense mood of separation because we're not finding him so easily. Hey Radhe Braja Devi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Sunna Kutaha, Sri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Parkale, Kalindi Vanye Kutaha, Kutaha. Goswamis were searching like that. Where is Krishna? So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the garden of Jagannath Vallabha, garden in Puri, searching for Krishna, as always. Because as soon as he saw any kind of environment, he immediately thought of Vrindavan. As soon as he saw some trees, he saw some kandamba trees and some coconut trees and some bakul trees, and he became immediately reminiscent of the kunjas and forests of Vrindavan. He ran in there, and then he heard the flute. Then he heard the sound of Krishna's flute, and then he saw Krishna. And then Krishna left, and then the whole forest pervaded with the aroma of Krishna's body. So he was experiencing that great happiness of the sound, touch, form, and smell of the Lord. Now, in recent times, even this happens to devotees. Devotees that are on this level of akinchana dantasya santasya, who are akinchana, they have no desires for anything in this world. So Siddha Krishnadas, who is living in Govardhan, there are some stories about this particular Gaudiya Vaishnava, that when he would meditate, he would sit in Manasi Ganga and he would meditate. And one time, he was in his meditation, he entered the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And he saw in his mind the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Radha and Krishna were inside a kunja in a small forest, confidential forest grove. And they were dressing each other and having Sringar Seva. They were getting dressed with earrings and necklaces and flower garlands. And then Rupa Manjari came out and motioned to this Siddha Krishnadas Baba in his Manjari form, said, "Can you bring some nice oil? Some very fragrant oil, some henna or some rose oil or some very first class oil to put on, you know, Radha and Krishna after they're dressed. Because after they're dressed, we put nice oil on them, they smell very nice." Or you see sometimes when they go, because this is part of the Sringar or the dressing seva of the devotees offered to the Lord. So then this Siddha Krishnadas, he ran, he got some oil. So he was running back to give it to Rupa Manjari to take in for the service of Radha and Krishna, and somehow he tripped. In his meditation, he tripped and he dropped the oil. He spilled the oil and he wasn't able to render the service. And his meditation broke and he was lamenting, "Oh, hey Krishna, hey Krishna, Krishna, hey Radhe, Radhe." He was lamenting. He was intensely crying, lamenting, "Oh, what a fool, what a fool I am. Just as I had the opportunity, I was granted this wonderful spurti, this wonderful vision of the Lord's eternal pastimes. And Rupa Manjari personally engaged me in service of bringing some fragrant oil. And then at the moment I get to the threshold of the kunja, I trip and drop the oil and break the bottle and it can't be used." And he's crying, crying. So all his disciples, because he was a guru, and his disciples, they heard the guru moaning and crying, and they were thought maybe some problem or whatever. They came in and they said, before that, some of the devotees were at Manasi Ganga, and they were smelling this incredible fragrance, this incredible aroma, intense, beautiful, sweet-smelling flowers, and it was in the winter time, and there were no flowers going on and blossoming in the Vrindavan at that time, at Manasi Ganga. So then they, where is it coming from? And they are all questioning, what is that fragrance? Just like sometimes when devotees go around Govardhan on Parikrama, they're walking on Parikrama, all of a sudden a beautiful, gush of fragrance comes into their noses in springtime or in Shravan time. And then you stop and you look and where is that smell coming from? Some beautiful smell from Govardhan. Then you look and you see, oh look, that tree is, there's a tree blossoming. There's a kadamba tree is blossoming there, or some malati vines or different, you know. And it's, I've had the experience many times. You're walking around in the evening, there's night blooming jasmines, and you're walking and all of a sudden, what's that? And you stop in your tracks and you try to smell where it's from, and then you find and you go and you see all these bees flying around a tree, and then you see, oh, it's this tree over here. So all the devotees, they said, where is this fragrance coming from? And then they started collecting, and then they heard this moaning and groaning and crying of their Gurudev. So they went there, and then they went into Gurudev, and then they realized it's from here somewhere. It's coming out of Gurudev's bhajan kutir. And they went in there and they saw their Gurudev, what's wrong? He said, oh, I'm worthless, my bhajan is no good, I had opportunity for service and I dropped a bottle of oil. And they were all looking at each other, oh my God. He is in the spiritual world in his meditation, offering some oil in his meditation, but somehow that oil was brought back here to this planet, to his bhajan kutir, and his whole Manasi Ganga smells like that fragrant oil that he dropped on the ground in his meditation, in his attempt to serve Radha and Krishna. So, although it seemed like a lamentation, it was a great experience of happiness to have such to enter the eternal pastimes of the Lord and even have the attempt to render some service. So here it explains that devotee who is always meditating upon the Lord experiences transcendental sound, touch, form, flavor, and aroma in the pastimes of the Lord. And that we're going to get to again, because this experience of the Lord, you will, when devotee comes to the level of bhava and pray at bhava bhakti, it becomes occasional, but when one comes to the threshold of prema, it becomes repeatedly, it happens time and again, repeatedly, one has these experiences, and we'll read about that from the Madhurya Kadambini, describing how one has, one who's meditating on Krishna at the level of bhava bhakti and advanced devotion, he will have direct experience. He will feel Krishna's hand on his head. He will smell Krishna's transcendental body. He will taste Krishna's lips. All these things will happen. So this is mentioned here. And in the same chapter 14, text 42, this is in Uddhava Gita. Krishna's instructing Uddhava, because Uddhava is asking, what form should we meditate on in our heart? So he says that keeping the eyes half closed and fixed, this he's talking about meditation, keeping the eyes half closed and fixed on the tip of one's nose, being enlivened and alert, in other words, don't be sleeping, one should meditate on the lotus flower situated within the heart. This lotus has 8 petals and is situated on a straight stalk. We should meditate that the Lord, the form of the Lord, is perfectly proportioned, gentle and cheerful. And it talks about, this is called super soul meditation. So he's instructing Uddhava how to meditate on the super soul being very beautiful. But Prabhupada explains other places that for one who has an Ishtadev means a chosen Lord, the Lord that I choose to worship, or the Lord that I'm attracted to. So somehow or other, due to our previous association and previous lives, association with bhakti, and in this life, we've become attracted to a particular form of the Lord. As I mentioned in some earlier classes, there I know one devotee who is, from their whole life, from the beginning of life, they've been brought up as Ram Bhaktas. And they came to Gaudiya Vaishnavism and they're chanting Hare Krishna, but they're not attracted to become Krishna Bhaktas, they're still Ram Bhaktas. All their attraction is increasing more and more because their hearts are becoming purified by the practice of Bhakti Yoga. So Murari Gupta, also you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was a Ram Bhakta, or he is always a Ram Bhakta, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to encourage him to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So he couldn't do that. And then Lord Chaitanya said, I was just testing you to see how much fixed you were on your Ishtadev, because I see you're a Ram Bhakta, you're Hanuman. So you're always chanting the name of Ram. So that Uddhava is being told in Uddhava Gita to meditate on the Supersoul. The Chaturbhuj form, the usual feature of the Supersoul. But elsewhere it explains that all the different five features of the Lord are manifest according to the adhikari of the devotees. So Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the two-armed form of Krishna, is in the Archamurti, and he's in the Vaibhav Prakash, and he's in the Paramatma. All these different five forms are there. So for us, we meditate on the beautiful form of Radha Shyam Sundar in our heart. And as it explains, that this is the correct procedure. Lord Krishna is describing to Uddhava what is the correct procedure, nature, and object of meditation for those desiring liberation. So we don't desire liberation, we desire prema. So we meditate on Radha and Krishna within our heart. That is part of our practice of bhakti. That comes under archanam and also smaranam. We see in the in New York, the devotees, they asked Prabhupada, they said, Prabhupada, we read about the super soul and paramatma, but is Krishna in the heart? And Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna's in the heart. Well, if Krishna's there, he's always with Radharani. So is Radharani in the heart? And Prabhupada said, yes, Radha and Krishna are in the heart. Well, Prabhupada, but Radha and Krishna are always in Vrindavan. That means Vrindavan is in the heart? And Prabhupada said, yes. Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan are always in the heart. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would wait the chariot when he took him to Shantipur and he was on, Lord Chaitanya's on his way to Vrindavan. He said, Vrindavan Moramana Habe. He said, your mind is always Vrindavan. Wherever you are, it's Vrindavan. You're always thinking of Radha and Krishna. Always thinking of Krishna in Lord Chaitanya's case. But you're always thinking of Vrindavan. Vrindavan means Radha and Krishna and the gopas and gopis and Gir Govardhan. This is the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And he's reminding us that this is the Prayojana. It's just a nice shloka from Prahlad Maharaj. It's from the 7th canto. And you guys were talking about seeing Krishna. It's very nice. This is 7th canto, chapter 7, verse 55. Itavan eva lokesmin pumsa swarta parasmrita ekanta bhaktir govinde yat sarvatra tarikshanam. Ekanta bhaktir govinde, ekantiki bhakti. That means, eka means one. That means devotion that's completely fixed on our Ishtadev, on Radha and Krishna, with no mixture of jnana or karma, or no any other object of worship. Ekanta bhakti means unalloyed devotional service, pure bhakti. Ekanta bhaktir govinde. Prahlad Maharaj said, in this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. So this is Prayojana Tattva. This is the vastu, this is the substance, the actual goal of life. And Prahlad is he is our Mahajan, Prahlado Janako Bhishmo. There are 13 Mahajans mentioned in the 6th canto of Bhagavatam, and Prahlad is one of our great acharyas, Mahajanas. He's our great guru and shiksha guru. He's teaching us what is the prayojana, what is the goal of life which we should always aspire for. He says, pumsa swarta para smrita. The topmost smrita means smaran. Shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam. So what is the para smaranam or para smrita? The topmost remembrance we should do, pumsa swarta, which will give the person, will give us the swa arta. This is our greatest object, our greatest goal. What is that? Ekanta bhaktir govinde. Sarvatra tadikshanam. Ikshanam means aksha. Iksha or aksha means I. Sarvatra means everywhere we should see Govinda. And we can see Govinda everywhere by ikantiki bhakti. Or ekanta bhaktir. In other words, ek anta also means one end. Ek and anta. Anta means end, like anti lila. So ek anta means I have one end, I have one goal. And that's devotion for Govinda, Govinda Bhakti. So, again, the verse, he says, in this material world, lokesmin, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda Bhakti, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. So, this purport Prabhupada explains, Sarvatra Tarikshanam means the highest perfection of devotional service in which one sees everything with reference to Govinda's activities. The highest elevated devotee never sees anything unrelated to Govinda. Krishna Kaviraj explains in Madhyalila, in the Ramananda Sambhag, the teachings Ramananda Roy, 8th chapter, Madhyalila, verse 274, Stavara Jangama Deke, Nadeke Tara Murti, Savatrahaya Nija Ishta Deva Spurti. So here we hear this term again, which I mentioned a few minutes ago, Ishtadev Spurti. Spurti means to have a vision of Ishta. Your Ishta means your Isha, your controller, the Lord of your heart, the Ishta Dev. The Dev means Lord, the Master, the God, Ishta. I mean, Ishta means the Lord of the heart, or your chosen deity, or your worshipful Lord. Sarvatra haya nija, nija ishta deva spurti. Nija means your own. Nija ishta dev, your own Lord. For Murari Gupta to see sarvatra jangama deki na deki tara murti means that the Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee, sees everything, moving and unmoving, but he does not exactly see their forms. Everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. Stavara Jangama Deki. Stavara Jangama means the moving and unmoving. Deki, he sees. Na Deki. Na Deki Tara Murti means he doesn't see their Murti, their form, but what does he see? His Nija Ishtadev Spurti. He sees his Ishtadev. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching to Murari Gupta about chanting Hare Krishna, then he forgave him because he couldn't chant Hare Krishna, and then Murari Gupta had his hands folded and he was listening to the Lord and he was pleading with him and begging forgiveness that he wasn't able to chant the name of Krishna because his Nija Ishtadev was Ramchandra. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled very benevolently and sweetly to Murari Gupta. Then all of a sudden, Lord Chaitanya, then when Murari Gupta looked, he didn't see Lord Chaitanya. He saw Ramchandra Bhagavan, Lakshman Hanuman, and Sita Devi, or Ramchandra, Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman. So he didn't see the moving or unmoving as what it actually is. It was Lord Chaitanya, but he saw his Ishtadev. So this is the vision that one will have at this high level of devotion. Even in this material world, a devotee does not see materially manifested things. Instead, he sees Govinda in everything. When he sees a tree or a human being, a devotee sees them in relation to Govinda. Govindam Adipurusham. Govinda is the original source of everything. So I think we'll stop there. And tomorrow we'll continue. We should finish this topic tomorrow. Sri Brahma Samhita Ki Jai. Vanchakopatruvyascha Kripasindhu.